as bad as they ever been. If trouble were money, I'd more money than any man should. I'm open for business in your neighborhood. The blues is my business and business is good. If I had a dollar for every broken heart, I'd be drinking fine wine and eating caviar. If trouble were money, I'd more money than any man should, yeah. I'm open for business in your neighborhood. The blues is my business and business is good, yeah.
Support for K-Mud comes from Soham Health in Garberville, offering lab services 7 days a week so you won't have to take off time for lab tests. Other health services include primary care, mammograms, CT scans, ultrasound, a visiting nurse program, Garberville Pharmacy, and the only 24/7 ER in Southern Humboldt. SoHumHealth.org or 707-923-3921 to learn more. Support for K-Mud comes from NorCal Mechanical, LLC, offering all-electric, all-climate heat pump systems from Mitsubishi Electric for homes and businesses. With over 50 years of experience serving Southern Humboldt, NorCal Mechanical can advise on how to switch from old fossil-burning systems to energy-efficient heating and cooling. Tax credits are currently available. More info at norcalmechanical.com or 707-223-2100.
The blues is my business and business is good.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Patricia Tinkler, and this is the K-Mud Business Hour. I am delighted to welcome a full house today. Therefore, we won't be taking phone calls. From the North Coast Growers Association, Laura Hughes, the Director of Operations. We have Ivy North, who is the Ag Program Director. We have an interpreter today, Karen Castro. And then in studio, I'm super happy that you're here today, Laura. I've got Laura Guagnari, and she is a farmer and a member of the North Coast Growers Association. Thank you, ladies, for coming today. We have last-minute guest and interpreter, Karen. Really appreciate you coming. I think, ladies, I'm going to pretty much let you set the tone, if that's okay with you. But, you know, this is a business show. I'm thinking that, you know, talking about the business mechanics around the association and then also, you know, its history, because I actually was going to take a different format until I started reading about the rich history of the North Coast Growers Association. So would you like to begin, Laura?
Sure. So the North Coast Growers Association has been around since the late 70s. 1978 is when our first farmers markets were started. And we started out in the dirt parking lot in Eureka on the waterfront. And then we slowly have grown over the years. We now operate 10 markets throughout Humboldt County, including 3 in southern Humboldt. As well as several in Eureka, Arcata, McKinleyville, Willow Creek, Fortuna. So we've got our hands in lots of pots in the farmers market world in Humboldt County. And then we also operate a brand new food hub. So we do agricultural product aggregation and distribution, including sales to schools, institutions like Food for People, restaurants, things like that. So we are in our second year of operation of the food hub, and that's expanding really quickly. And that's sort of like those two pieces, the farmers market and the food hub, are the sort of post-production side of things. And then Ivy is our director of agricultural programs, and they have been working really closely with our farmers and recruiting new farmers to do the sort of pre-production training and onboarding and recruitment of folks in our region. Ives, do you want to share a little bit more about your programs?
Sure, yes. Good morning. And thank you, Patricia, for having us on. It's great to be here. As Laura was saying, I'm the Ag Programs Director. And what I do for the organization is work with the small family farmers that we have here across the county and make connections with each of them and figure out what sort of resources and support services I can help arrange or directly serve myself. So oftentimes it is working with people that are brand new, just starting their business. Sometimes it's people that have experience but are moving into the area, looking to expand, looking for additional business services and advice, looking for funding, particular trainings, things like that. And that is where I come in, figuring out what can be done, how can we serve these folks? Because we are, as we all know, in a very rural area, and sometimes we can forget or be unaware of all the resources that are available beyond us here. So I'm thinking of, for farmers, there's state and federal funding, all sorts of grants and service organizations. So I work to connect people in with oftentimes the resources that already exist, but making those personal connections to those services to be sure that our farmers can be as successful as possible.
That makes perfect sense, too, because you're assuring then that you have vendors for all of these. And do you have plans to grow the association? Obviously, you just bitten off a ton. But, you know, with the new food hub, can you talk more about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, we have the sort of two marketing outlets for our farmers. We have our direct market opportunities. So that's direct farm to consumer opportunities like farm stands, farmers markets that we operate. And that's sort of one piece of the puzzle for a lot of our agricultural producers in the community. And then the other part of that is wholesale sales. So that's how the sort of farmers markets and the food hub work hand in hand to offer a broader array of marketing opportunities for our local agricultural producers. And that's something that has been newer to us, is adding that sort of wholesale component. We do have a handful of for Humboldt County, larger, but by, you know, state standards, still quite small farmers who do a lot of wholesale at places like the Co-op and Chautauqua Natural Foods and, you know, places like that. But the food hub is really helping support farmers by creating new market opportunities and connecting larger institutional buyers. Like I said, the schools were also working to get an agreement going with Cal Poly Humboldt, and that's sort of in the last phases of getting worked out, where the market opportunities that are available are much larger than what has been accessible to our farmers in the past. And so what we're really trying to do is scale up the level of production throughout the county of agricultural products. So Ivy's programs work, like I said, on the pre-production end of things, really providing all of the services and resources to farmers to get them farming and being really successful. And then the food hub and the farmers markets are the sort of outlet for those products. And as we generate more market opportunities, we're seeing more production capacity start to develop within our farmers, which is a huge part of what we do. Obviously, the farmers markets, farmers can receive a much higher price point directly to them for their products. So even if the product is sold at the same price at the farmers market or the co-op, the farmer is taking home that that markup or that margin for them. So that's why direct marketing is often a sort of first great opportunity for folks, especially smaller folks, because that's how you sort of figure out what products are successful in our local environment. What do folks really want to eat? What are you good at growing? What sort of produce and quality standards do you need to follow? And then as people scale up their production, it might not make the most sense to be spending a whole lot of time standing at a booth at the market if you are just trying to unload a really large amount of product. Or maybe it doesn't make financial sense for you to pay an employee to be there for you. And so that's where the food hub really comes in, is eliminating the time that farmers have to spend contacting each individual buyer and reducing the amount of time that each individual buyer has to reach out to individual farmers. So we act as an aggregation point here. Folks can see on an online ordering site what different products are available at any given time. They can place an order. We place that order with the farmers who then deliver it to us, and then we distribute it out to all of those customers. So we sort of, you know, reduce a lot of the like middle person interactions that are required in a lot of those sort of wholesale sales. And at the same time, connecting larger purchasers with the products that are being grown locally. So we're seeing more and more local produce get into local schools, different kinds of businesses, things like that. So we're really excited to make local food something that is affordable for everybody and that we want to see on every plate in Humboldt County, whether that be through folks shopping at the farmers markets or being able to access our farmers' produce at schools, for example. Some of the schools that we've been working with have been putting together really beautiful salad bars, fruit bowls, all different kinds of things that are really highlighting the amount of local produce that's available. The folks that have been receiving it are really excited about it. We've just been hearing a lot of really great feedback about it. So expansion, yes. We are still working on getting all of our current interested customers up and running, especially, like I mentioned, Cal Poly Humboldt, getting them on board, and then continuing to expand to additional purchasers as well. We also have like dreams in the pipeline of, you know, expanded commercial kitchen space and all that kind of stuff, but we're not quite there yet. We're still working on some electrical upgrades and like delivery pad construction and stuff like that in our facility. So there's a lot going on for sure.
How many employees do you have that work for, you know, that your administrative arm?
Mm-hmm. We have 6 full-time employees, I think. And we have 18 employees altogether. So that would leave, 12 part-time or seasonal employees. A lot of those are seasonal market managers who manage our weekday farmers markets. But yeah, our core staff team is fairly small. There's 7 core staff that that are in the office regularly.
That seems, you know, super efficient that you're able to manage all of what you're doing with 6 people. Kudos. Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Mostly women?
Yeah, mostly women and non-binary folks. We do have a couple of men on staff that were probably raised with a lot of sisters, is what I imagine. You know, so it's a really great environment to be in and to have women and non-binary leadership on our team, and folks have been quite enjoying the dynamics that we have going on. We wear a lot of hats. As you mentioned, we are very efficient. We are growing so quickly, we can't really keep up with ourselves. So our jobs descriptions are changing every 6 months. So that's been something that's interesting, especially as the operations director, trying to keep up with all of the hiring and HR pieces that go along with that, and making sure that our work-life balances are sustainable. It's a constant journey in that regard, but we're getting there. Yeah.
It somewhat reminds me of KMUD because we have a small staff that has this, you know, 120 volunteer programmers that we have to herd like cats, and it's a challenge. And you just hope to gain more efficiencies as you go, not so that you can continue to increase your services without increasing your overhead. And that's, you know, the way to go. And things like tools like Zoom and the ability to do these things online, particularly for people like us who live up in the hills, it's just, you know, a bit of a game changer when you're trying to make those type of connections and you don't want to drive north all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, infrastructural limitations as well, like you mentioned. You know, we're a very geographically spread out and isolated set of communities in Humboldt. There's so many different sub-communities, you know? And so that's something that we're also really trying to figure out how we can expand operations of the Food Hub, for example, into Southern Humboldt. There's a lot of need there, down there. There's a lot of production down there as well. So we're trying to figure out how we can most effectively sort of cross those gaps there, getting the vehicles, getting funding for positions, you know, having conversations with a lot of our producers down there. And Laura Guarnieri is one of our folks that sort of wears both hats and attends markets both in Northern and Southern Humboldt. So relying on those relationships, because Humboldt County is so small and we are so interconnected, that we really have to rely on the relationships that we've built through our farmers markets and other sort of community building efforts to work on expanding those operations into every community that needs it. Southern Humboldt, Eastern Humboldt, we're also trying to figure out how to get more connectivity out to Willow Creek, those kinds of things. So it's something that we are definitely like working on ramping up. And Ivy's been doing a great job also with a lot of the trainings that have been offered. Ivy, do you want to talk a little bit about the Climate Resilient Farmer Training Program that you've been working on and your work with CR?
Yes, sure. I've done some surveying across farmers across the county to see what folks are looking for. And really what I've found is that folks are looking for larger, comprehensive training programs that can really get them scaled, get them ready to be more viable businesses and figure out their place in the community, in the business world. And what was designed a few years ago now is a really innovative partnership between the North Coast Growers Association here and College of the Redwoods and their agricultural program. And we designed a program that spans a year and serves about 20 individuals for each cohort. And we've had two cohorts. Cohort number one has graduated. Cohort number two is partway through their program. And the program serves farmers that are within their first 10 years, ideally between year one and year five, has been our focus thus far. And it's a training program that's both hands-on and has in-classroom days as well, to really focus on what are the most critical climate resiliency practices needed. And so that those focuses are on things like irrigation, on things like soil and management of your scale, thinking about scale, really all sorts of things. And the participants have given us really, really positive feedback. We're really happy to make the program accessible, to make it available at no cost, and even stipends are available to help start to compensate the participants for their time, because we know that it is hard. One of the challenges to continued education for farmers is that it's really hard to have any time away from your farm, because to have a viable farm business, you really need to be giving it your all and giving it all of your time and energy. And so we really value people's time and know that it's a big deal to step away from the farm to get continued education. So that's been a really positive program and partnership. It's something that we hope to continue. We have various grants that we're waiting to hear back on, grant applications. And in the future, we're hoping to expand that program to integrate some of the business education programming that we've developed in partnership with the North Coast Small Business Development Center, SBDC. Part of my job with the North Coast Growers Association is to be contracted through SBDC to work with small family farmers on their business development. So that can look like working with folks on their business plan, taking a look at what grant funding or loans may be available, but also just generally orienting folks to the food system and trying to help figure out where their place is, what they grow, what they grow well, what they could grow more of, to make sure that their income is balanced, and to make sure that any upfront costs that they're incurring to establish their business or scale up, figuring out how they're going to pay that off, and you know what those first years are going to look like. So I was here talking about the SBDC programming that we have, and in relation to the Climate Resilient Farmer Training Program, we're talking about integrating that in. So each cohort would have the farm practice training in addition to a wrapped-in package of farm business trainings as well. So those are just a couple of the things that we're working on. We know that there's a lot more training and development that can happen in the county. And we're trying to stay in the loop and listen and stay ahead of the game and figure out what we can do now to prepare our farmers for the years to come as we see an expansion in market availability for those products, as Laura was talking about. There's more and more ways to sell your product and more buyers through the aggregation system with the Harvest Hub. So we're looking to help our local farmers meet that community need, that industry need, for more local products as we expand our ability to assist farmers with tapping into that expanded need.
Question: are you seeing a lot of response from the cannabis community as ways to diversify their revenue or switch from cannabis to growing, you know, vegetables?
It's a really interesting question, and it's been on our mind for years. I can definitely see so many potential connections with someone who has been growing cannabis for years and has growing skills, has a love for plants, has some sort of access to land. And as the industry has changed so much and reduced so much, I can see that a lot of folks may be interested in continuing farming, but finding another product to grow. So looking into food, there are definitely farmers that we have that are members of our organization that sell at farmers markets and through the hub that maybe got their start in cannabis, maybe were able to earn enough income when the market was higher for it to have enough cash to get going as a food farmer. And then we have some farmers who have chosen to grow cannabis legally, as well as grow food. And some people are kind of have their feet in both of those. And something that we are interested in researching more and being able to be more of a resource for is helping farmers transition maybe from what's been fully cannabis into growing food. And honestly, the regulations are complicated and changing, and they're hard for me to keep track of. It's not my area of expertise. And so we're really looking for a way to partner with folks that have an expertise in all those regulations to work with us and come up with some sort of collaborative training or resource opportunities to be able to be more informed, honestly, on how that happens. Because I know that there are some barriers to simply transitioning your greenhouse into growing food, for example. We do welcome folks to talk with us about it, and we can look into it on a case-by-case basis and help walk people through it. But at this point, we're not experts just yet, but we can see that need in the community. So it's something that we want to work towards.
Before we go into like the day-to-day of what you do, would you like to talk a little bit about the history? Because it's very interesting, and also because it kind of addresses your primary funding sources. I guess that would be Laura.
Sure. The history of our development, just in terms of being a farmer-centric organization?
Well, you know, founded in 1978, just, you know, the blow by blow. I know that you actually had like a great little timeline on your website. And then, and you know, I saw when you joined in 2012. So it's kind of interesting, again, to see an organization that's grown exponentially with such a small framework of people. So that's, again, cool.
Yeah. So one of the things that makes our organization really unique is that it was created by farmers for farmers, right? One of the things that we still hold true even through our expansion is that all of the staff that work here are here to work in the service of our agricultural producers and make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful by creating, you know, direct marketing opportunities, like I mentioned before, through the farmers markets, and now more recently expanded opportunities. It's also kind of interesting because there was some original funding that came down in the 70s, and the Farmers Markets and the North Coast Growers Association were actually two different organizations in the very beginning, and they merged in the early 80s. So the Farmers Markets was one arm, and the other arm was sort of the idea of what Ivy's doing now and what Megan is doing with the hub of creating resources for farmers, like doing crop feasibility studies, what crops do well in what parts of the county, that kind of a thing. And this was really in the very beginning of like the state of California's direct marketing programming. And then the two organizations merged in the early 80s and sort of joined forces, and it really became farmers market centric. And then more recently, as we've evolved, we've sort of re-expanded back into the sort of farmer service part of things. And Ivy does a lot of work with like land match, like helping people try and find land or people that have land, finding people who can rent it, that kind of a thing. And we also do a lot of bulk ordering for our farmers for things like boxes and paper bags and, you know, strawberry baskets, that kind of a thing. So those kinds of direct services we've also sort of expanded into. But we've always been an organization of farmers, and our farmers wrote our bylaws. They wrote our rules and regulations. So anytime a farmer breaks them and I have to regulate on a rule, I remind them that they wrote the rule, not me. So we really do try to be farmer first and farmer focused. And so we are a membership-based organization. Everybody that sells at the farmers markets or participates in the Harvest Hub has to become a dues-paying member. Members vote in the association on member business. We have a lot of committees, working groups, we call them now, because committees is boring. So we, you know, music selection, non-ag criteria, weekday market location, expansion, schedules, all those kinds of things. So all of those are membership driven working groups that help inform the work of the staff. So all of the work that the staff is doing is directed by, largely by our farmers. Our board is primarily made up of farmers. We're only allowed to have two non-farmer members on our board. So everybody that's on the board is either a farmer or one of our members who might not be a farmer, but is definitely supporting agriculture. We didn't used to even have a full-time staff. I think our executive director, Portia, she's been with us since 2008. She came on as an assistant and very quickly became the lead market manager and took over the executive directorship. And that was just a one staff person job at the time. And then I joined as an assistant manager in 2010 and took over the lead management of the Arcata market in 2012. And since then, our staff has been expanding. I think Ivy was the first full-time staff person in the office after Portia, because I was actually working at the markets part-time and working at Food for People for several years full-time, doing sort of like both of those things. And it wasn't until 2017 that I joined the full-time staff along with Ivy and Portia. And we went from having like one or maybe three Saturday market managers to now we have five Saturday market managers and two interns. So just the level of work has really scaled up over the last several years. And a lot of it has to do with like the funding opportunities that have come down and the grants that we were able to apply for and really build out. And then during the pandemic, one of the silver linings was that we were able to pilot this harvest box program for folks who weren't comfortable coming directly to the farmers markets but still wanted to access local produce. We basically created like a CSA style program where we ordered produce from our farmers, built boxes for people, and distributed those as a sort of like drive-through situation. And that program really took off and was the sort of very beginning phases of what became, has become the Harvest Hub here. So it's been a long, you know, trajectory of growth. But at every step of the way, our farmers have really been the primary customers that we serve in that regard. In terms of the work that we do as staff, we really are trying to uplift the local agricultural economy, support, you know, food production as a viable livelihood in Humboldt County. And through all of these more recent efforts, we've been connecting more deeply with economic development folks throughout the county. I've been involved in the Redwood Region Rise work that's been going on locally. So there's a lot of exciting stuff happening that really grew out of the spark from a few farmers, a handful of farmers in the late 70s. So we're really proud of that and try to remember where we came from and why we're doing the work that we do. And we are just trying to increase the amount of production in Humboldt County because there's more demand we've found than supply at this point. And we even, you know, we bought everything that one of our farmers had who was is a wholesale producer, Willow Creek Farms. And we, you know, bought literally everything that he had available in the winter months and he had nothing left. So that's where we're at right now, is that we've developed these markets to the point where people are buying literally everything that exists. And so we need to produce more so that we can meet that demand. And that's what we're currently working on. We've done a few like scaling up for wholesale workshops and those kinds of things. So that's on the sort of post-production end of things like I was talking about before. And that sort of touches on a little bit of the workshop that I think that Ivy is working with Karen on planning coming up real soon.
Wonderful. Hey, this is Laura Hughes. She is the Director of Operations at North Coast Growers Association, and I'm also joined by Ivy North, who is the Ag Program Director, the interpreter Karen Castro. Thank you for coming today, Karen. And of course, in studio, Laura Guagnari. And could you pronounce the name of your farm, Buen Vivir?
Buen Vivir.
Thank you. Thank you. And you're listening to KMUD. This is the KMUD Business Hour. Thank you. Now I think maybe we can shift a bit. I think we're going to talk a little bit more about the workshop and how you're approaching that.
Yes, sure. Great. Thank you again for having us on. And this workshop that's coming up, we're really excited to share. As I was saying earlier, we have a lot of workshops and programs available for farmers, and that's been something that we've been feeling like we've got pretty dialed in and are doing well. And we've been thinking about what we're missing. And something came up that there really isn't a direct connection, service connection between people who are currently gardeners or homesteaders, growing their own food, maybe growing food for their neighbors and community, barter systems, beautiful things like that. And we know that these folks are out there, and we know that some folks that start as gardeners end up being farmers. And so what we created, what I created in partnership with Karen Castro, who's here with us today, with some great advice and input from our coworker Oscar, putting together a workshop that we call Garden to Farm, Growing Your Food Production. And this is a workshop that's going to be both in person and live on Zoom. It's in person in Arcata at the Harvest Hub, and it's going to be on July 14th. And it's a Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. It's no cost. And something else that is special about this workshop is it's going to be presented in English and Spanish. And we can talk a little bit more about that maybe in a few minutes. But we wanted to be sure to offer no-cost childcare to help with accessibility to this. And to tell you a little bit more about the workshop here, you know, it's really for anyone who has ever thought about expanding their garden or homestead for extra income. And it's an opportunity to learn from local experts and guest speakers that recently transitioned from gardener to farmer. There's all sorts of things that we're hoping folks can pick up from their experience here, how to assess whether a transition to farming is right for you, what are some realistic time, space, and physical investments that may be needed to do that. Start thinking about what small business logistics and special permits you may need, depending on where you are interested in selling. Taking a look at whether there's a demand for what you're growing or what you could grow, and having a better idea of what support, training, and financial resources are available, and talk a bit about budgeting. You know, what does it cost to grow what you grow, and what would you sell that for? And we also are looking forward to hearing from the people that are joining us for the workshop, hearing what ideas there are, what challenges there are, and what else we can build out to serve those folks. And so, yeah, again, this is going to be in English and Spanish. We're excited to have it in person, but also make it available on Zoom so we can reach more rural communities. I know a lot of us have gotten burnt on Zoom over the years, but it really is a wonderful lifeline, like a wonderful way to reach people that it doesn't make sense to travel in, or it doesn't make sense to hold a workshop many times around the county. So we're hoping that this model is welcomed and effective. And we're really looking forward to seeing who shows up, you know, who wants to join us for this and have these conversations. And we're hoping that there will be, we're going to have various breakout groups and things like that, because we really want folks to get to know each other. Hopefully there are relationships that can be built there, as well as with the Growers Association staff and other experienced farmers that will be there in the room. So those are kind of some of the basics there of what's coming up. Karen, I know that you're here with us, and I've been really valuing working with you in part to think about what this workshop can include, and in part to think about how to reach out to a wider community to share that this workshop is available. Oftentimes, my work is reaching out to farmers that are already looped in, that are already on the email lists, that are already easy for us to reach, but thinking about finding new communities and folks that are not yet a part of the farmers market organization. And so I wonder if there's anything, Karen, that you can add to maybe how I described that workshop and how we're reaching out to find folks that would be interested in this.
Well, I would say that, as Laura explained, as we're expanding as a business and I'm part of that. It was so good to have been brought on board last year, and now to see what opportunities lie for a more expanded food source, you know, here in Humboldt, and to bridge that gap between the Spanish speaking community that possibly have different kinds of herbs and produce that we've never had here, but grow in the climate here. So this is going to give the opportunity for more food, more connecting, and so that being on part of the NCGA staff, not only as, you know, Saturday market, but as this bilingual outreach person, it is, I think that this workshop will just kind of exemplify what's out there, who's interested, what we have to offer, and what we have to, like, what kind of hoops we need to jump through and just kind of delegate, you know, what exactly is needed and really see the demand and, you know, it's all to be foreseen, and it's exciting to, you know, be part of, this new bilingual, part of NCGA. And, yeah, so yeah.
Thanks, Karen. It's so great to have you on the team, and it's really, I think it's going to be a game changer to be able to have the resources and services that NCGA has, but newly be able to scale up our ability to translate those services for Spanish-speaking folks. So if there are, if anyone here is listening today is bilingual but Spanish primary and is interested in talking with NCGA staff about any of the programs that we have, joining the farmers market, connecting in with workshops and resources, selling to the Harvest Hub, things of that sort. We now have Karen on the team to help facilitate many of those conversations, which is a good thing. So thank you, Karen, for being with us.
Yeah, and my email is on every, it's Karen at North Coast Growers Association. And, you know, eventually maybe I'll say something in Spanish if we're having any Spanish-speaking audience.
How many members do you have currently at the NCGA? I read over 100 as far as farmers.
So we have between 150 and 200. That includes our prepared food and crafters as well. But yeah, over 100 farmers.
All right. Mm-hmm. And that's why several months ago, Laura approached me and said, I'm working with this very cool organization, and I think that their business model, it would be something that, you know, you would like to talk about on your show. So we've been talking about this for several months, and I kind of wanted to get her perspective as a member and a farmer, as well as a mother, a teacher, and she is also a programmer here at KMUD. She is, which, by the way, is in Garberville, 91.1. Laura was very concerned earlier that I would say that. So you're listening to KMUD Radio. And tell me how you got into farming, Laura.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me here. And it was a delight to hear all what Laura and Ivy were saying, because is everything is so true. That's that's the nice thing. I became a member like 6 years ago in my first place, but my business has different stages and faced different challenges, so I was in and out, but it's so interesting to see the history of the association and how they work. It's so thoughtful, and actually it's a great support for farmers. And in my experience, I felt so welcome in the association every time, and they really helped me to see my business, you know, as a big opportunity for me, and give me the chance to be in the farmers market and be associated with other farmers. And it was a dream for me when I hear about them, because I felt that I gain a lot of time, save a lot of time and experience, you know, having connections. And as they said, you know, is all those connections are essential for small businesses like me. So as you said, I'm a teacher, I'm a mom, I wear different hats. So in that way, it's a big, big deal to have that support from the association, for sure. And also makes me feel like very good about, you know, growing my food. I grow microgreens, and I know that it's a very, very good nutritional food. So I feel happy also to know that they manage the Harvest Hub and how they said in pandemic time, the Harvest Box, all that is amazing for the community, for the farmers, and we also, we really need that, being rural and isolated as we talk. So it's great to know that people for more than 46 years, 45 years, are working hard and listening. And it's very good to know that it was formed from farmers, which is a big thing too, because farmers know what farmers face, right? And so I witnessed all the what they were saying is we can just get benefit from that, and also not just for farmers but for the customers. I heard a lot of gratitude, and the association also goes, you know, with the flow and with the needs of the community, not just for the farmers but also for the customers, because when times are hard, for example, the EBT in the week and the seniors discount, it helps so much to the community to have access to good food and just know the face of your farmer, where your food comes from, is essential also. And it's a good training for hard times, right? If we are together, it's easier for sure. So
it definitely builds resilience in your community when you think that you could feed yourself if there was a problem and that you have the knowledge and skills. I think as we spoke about it on several occasions, what I think is great for you is the ability to have your job full year and then have your summer times that you can kind of ramp up production. And are you selling microgreens all year round or just during the summertime?
Well, I sell them all year round. And also, yeah, that's very important from the community too. The support that I receive is great. And local businesses are just amazing. It's, being in a small community has that that benefit too. So, yeah, it fits very well to support my incomes, you know, because I work, as you said, I'm a associated teacher in Head Start through the scholar year. And then in summertime, a farmer's market are a great opportunity for me to keep my incomes, you know, just paying my bills and being able to, yeah, to live from what I grow. So it's very, very important also to have that support and all the trainings, all the resources are there. And as you said, they are so efficient. It's amazing how just six people, and with, I know it's more people working, but I know Laura is always there for you, you know, and everybody in the association is very welcoming, is very aware of the situation that you are facing or you are going through, or what they give me great advices. And yeah, it's a great thing to have the North Coast Growers Association in Humboldt, for sure.
That's pretty good. That's resounding thumbs up for what y'all are doing. And, you know, it looks like we're getting to the top of the hour, and I kind of want to, you know, talk about, you called dreams in your pipeline, Laura. Would you like to discuss a little more about, you know, how you envision the future if all things work out well?
For the North Coast Growers Association?
Yeah. You talked about having dreams, big dreams. Well, you seem to be making this happen, so I'll let you extrapolate a bit.
To be clear, I'm one part of a really great team, and it takes all of us doing all of the different things that we do and using all of our different skills to get where we're going. So it's just a blessing to be part of such a great team and to have producers like Laura Guarnieri from Boumavir being so supportive of the work that we're doing. So thank you. Yeah, we've got lots of dreams. We've just gone through a series of strategic planning sessions and strategic visioning sessions. We've got some short-term and long-term plans. Like I mentioned before, we're really trying to expand our Harvest Hub operations into Eastern and Southern Humboldt and get some ordering going down there. But that's going to require some infrastructure. So for example, you know, I mentioned the like boring nitty gritty stuff, like building a delivery pad and buying vehicles and figuring out funding for staffing positions. But some of the more interesting, visions for that include like, potential freezer nodes and cooler nodes in different parts of the county where farmers that have produce that they can deliver and be used can be dropped off at those points. And then maybe we'll have a delivery driver that's going to be moving around from each of those locations to start to aggregate that produce. So right now we just have one walk-in cooler here at our facilities that we moved into a little over a year ago. And we currently have a freezer out in Blue Lake, but what we want to do is have cold storage in multiple places throughout the county. So that's a big desire. We also would like to have a distribution and aggregation node in Southern Humboldt, like we mentioned earlier. There have been some discussions around that, but that's still a ways down the pipeline. And of course, expanding out into Eastern Humboldt as well, because that area has some of the highest production in Humboldt County and yet is still a food desert. So that's one of the sort of like really frustrating and weird discrepancies that our current industrialized food system has created. So trying to sort of work around that. We've also, in the farmers market world, we've talked about trying to find a covered year-round market location. Our Arcata market is year-round. It is not covered. So during the like hail and snowstorms last winter, we were still there, but it wasn't the most pleasant experience. So those have been sort of long range goals. We've also been approached by many different organizations and many different communities to start a farmers market all over the county. We just don't have the resources to do that. We also don't have the producers to do that because a lot of our producers that attend the weekday market circuit, it's sort of a schedule. So it's like if you are a weekday market producer, you sell it, you know, Old Town on Tuesday morning, Fortuna on Tuesday afternoon, Henderson on Thursday morning, McKinleyville or Willow Creek on Thursday afternoon. Maybe you go down to Garberville on Friday or you live down there and you do that on Friday. And if you're super crazy, then you're also coming up and doing the Friday night market in Eureka that night and maybe even going to Arcata on Saturday. It's just wild. So there aren't a lot of like spaces in our schedule to add a lot of markets, despite us getting a lot of requests for those. But when we do have our annual sort of weekday market working group meetings with our members, we do sort of discuss and evaluate all of those different opportunities. So market expansion in the communities that need them, that's a huge part of our strategic plan, is like really making sure that our market opportunities match the needs of the community and our farmers there. And we also want to help support the production, the development of more commercial kitchen and food processing space. There's just like a serious lack of enough commercial kitchen space for people to do value added products and things like jams and like simple processing. And it's really, really hard to find space if you're a small business to rent in order to do that. And it's very expensive often. So just providing more spaces for our members, not just farmers, but also our, you know, small artisanal food producers to do some of that production work, as well as like moving towards some sort of simple processing. Like maybe we take all of the ugly carrots and we chop them into carrot sticks to make them more easily accessible for kids' lunches and stuff like that. So what are the ways that we can do some simple processing to some of the produce that is like harder to deal with unless it's prepped, to make that like that sort of like, you know, market opportunity more available. There have been harebrained discussions about like, you know, meal delivery, meal prep kits, kind of like Blue Apron or something along those lines. And then another dream is to really have a mobile market. So it would be really cool if we could have like for the places that a traditional farmer's market where all the farmers come and set up and break down isn't as feasible and we don't have enough farmers to participate in that, where could we potentially bring a truck full of a produce stand and set that up for people. And it is our farmers' produce, and maybe also some prepared food items like bread and you know, bagel chips and, you know, ghee and like all those kinds of things that are produced by our members as well, and make that available as a mobile market. Maybe some of the locations that really need a fresh produce market and want a fresh produce market, but maybe can't sustain a full farmers market, we could do a produce stand via a mobile market truck instead. So there's lots of stuff on the table. We also have like some really cool food demo things happening this year. So like, what the heck is a kohlrabi and how do you prepare it? So we're doing a lot of at market food demonstrations now as well through our nutrition education and outreach work. We do have a CalFresh outreach contract, so we help people apply for CalFresh benefits that they can also spend at the farmers market. And so part of that work is also helping folks understand how to make use of all of the stuff that's available locally, because it's great to buy local produce, but if you don't know how to prepare it, that's a barrier for folks. So we're sort of like hitting all of the different approaches that we possibly can in making sure that local food is available to people. And the overarching vision is that local food is on every Humboldt County plate. And we've also been working with the DNATL, Del Norte and Tribal Lands Community Food Council to help them pilot a harvest box program up there as well. We're expanding some harvest hub operations up there as well. So it might not just be Humboldt County anymore. We might be looking at a more regional lens, this sort of Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity trifecta, and trying to make those connections and expand food security, food access, food justice throughout a broader region, because it's not just enough to be Humboldt County at this point. I think we're really ramping up to be a regional food hub and a regional agricultural powerhouse here. So that's the big long-term vision.
Wonderful. That's ambitious and achievable, I think. I'm wondering if, Karen, if you would like to give a pitch to our Spanish-speaking community and about July 14th's workshop, because I think, you know, we may have some people interested.
Okay, bueno, para la audiencia aquí, el público latino habla hispana, tendremos un taller el 14 de julio, que sería el domingo. Empezando a la 1, sería un taller de la huerta a la granja. O sea, para que si usted, por ejemplo, tiene una abundancia de manzanas o de brócoli, por favor, y quiere saber un poquito más de cómo ubicarse y tal vez tener ingresos, por favor, visítenos en nuestra página de web y también explore nuestras otras herramientas que tendremos para ustedes y para la comunidad latina aquí en Humboldt. Y mi nombre es Karen Castro y, por favor, infórmense y mucho éxito. Gracias.
And I think we're winding up. Would you mind giving some contact information if people are interested in learning more about the workshop and about the North Coast Growers Association and anything else you want to throw out there? And then we'll call it a day.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again for having us on here. It's really been a pleasure to get to talk about what we do and reach more community members that listen to KMUD. I know it's such a huge, important part of our community and way of getting information out there. So thanks for what you do and all of the wrangling that you all do of your huge volunteer community. We really appreciate all of you. So getting a hold of us here at North Coast Growers Association, we have a very direct, easy to remember but long website. It is northcoastgrowersassociation.org. You can also find us on Google pretty easily, you know, just putting in Humboldt Farmers Markets or something like that. So if you go to our website, and you will see an Ag Programs tab. That's where you can find information about the Garden to Farm Workshop and other Ag programs. But that's the general website is where you will find all the information you would like to find about our farmers markets and joining our organization and other interests.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a very informative and inspiring show. Thank you, everyone, for coming today.
Thank you, Patricia.
The blues is my business, and business is good.